whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and very pleased to have some returning guests to our program this morning, Wild Birds Unlimited in Warwick, as it's always said, by Trader Joe's. Jane is here. Welcome back, Jane.
Hi, thank you.
Jane Finley is the voice that you hear frequently on WCRI, and she does those very interesting commercials about everything you ever wanted to know about birds and squirrels and mountain lions. No, we haven't talked about mountain lions.
No, I'm not much of an expert on that.
Okay, but you are on birds, so we're going to get the answer some questions, and you brought a couple people with you. Returning once again is Richard Del Sesto. Welcome back, Richard.
Good morning, Mike. Glad to see you survived our last visit.
Well, we did, and we've been looking forward to this one. I've told Jane, I've told lots of people, that every time she's comes into the studio, I learn something new. And that's true. And a lot of my listeners, whenever I do promotions and I'm out and about in the community, they always say, That bird lady.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's what they call you, Jane.
I've been called worse. So.
All right. So, and we have a new guest here who is, unusually, we have Jane Finley and Richard Del Sesto. And the coincidence that this person's last name is Del Sesto, too, is really odd. I mean, this is Nicholas Del Sesto is here. Welcome, Nicholas.
Glad to be here.
And Nicholas is, I'm sure, a relation to you, correct, Richard?
Yes, it's not the coincidence that you think it is.
Okay, there's a reason for it.
There is a reason for it, yes. He's been a great new addition to our staff, and he is my son.
Okay. Oh, so, you know, if I was your son, I could have a job at Wild Birds.
You don't have to be my son to have a job at Wild Birds.
Okay. Well, there you go. You are the owner, president, the street sweeper. What do you do there?
Owner, and pretty much leave it at that.
Okay.
I'm at the store most days, and I am the owner and have owned the store for about 8 years now.
8 years. So this is in Warwick. Jane, tell everybody exactly what you normally tell them, where it's located for those that might be listening.
It's on Route 2 by Trader Joe's.
See that? Just like the commercials. That's amazing. Just like the commercials.
Just like the commercials.
So that's in Warwick, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Warwick, and 8 years in existence, and you have all kinds of different material within the store. I know last time we talked about what happens when you walk in the store, other than people saying, where's Jane? Where's Jane? I want to talk to Jane. That I'm sure that happens all the time. But what kind of material, what kind of products, besides bird food, do you carry within the store?
Well, one of the things that we always notice is that when people come in, they stand there for a second, kind of take it all in. Because it doesn't look like a normal store. It looks more like an environment, and they're very happy with it because you can hear some birds chirping. It is a CD that's running.
So there's no real birds.
There's no real birds. I mean, people do come in looking for birds, and it's not that kind of store. But they are very taken by how much there is to know about feeding birds, and it's not a 1-2-step thing. It is, there are ways that it can be really disappointing. There are ways that you can fix that and make it really, really the best hobby in the world. So, that's our job, is to educate. And that's mm-hmm. what we like to do. And that's why we did the commercials the way that we're doing them. It's because when you walk in the store, we're doing the same thing. And, you know, that's been very helpful for people. They don't have to necessarily be pushed products, as opposed to learning something and then wanting to do it the right way.
Right.
And they're so appreciative afterwards. It's like, gosh, like you said, I learned so much.
Yeah, and there have been dozens and dozens and dozens of commercials where you've taken a particular subject and everything from why is hummingbird food not necessarily red?
Right,
which everybody thought it had to be, you know, until we heard from you, and you know how to prevent squirrels from taking all the food from the birds, and
that's the one that we hear about the most.
Really?
Yes, because you know they don't necessarily want to spend money to feed the birds if they know already in advance that the squirrels are going to take over. And so we can address that right away, and they can then learn to, you know, the different ways that we have to get the squirrels away from the situation and to be able to feed the birds.
Excellent. All right. So one of the things I'm sure, Richard, you do on the side is when people have a problem, you go out with your shotgun and wait for the squirrels.
Actually, that seems to be the customer's approach, and we talk them down.
That's right. Usually. That's right.
There are a few other solutions to it, but yes, it's very typical that you can almost read the face of the customer, like, oh, I think I know what we're going to be
talking
discussing.
About. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there are some special events that occasionally happen at the store where you have promotions and so forth going on. You have some coming up in a few weeks?
We do, and this has grown phenomenally, and I certainly attribute a lot of it to Jane's hard work, but we have an annual customer appreciation event. It is always in September. This year, it's on a Saturday, September 21st. And we've tried to do a few things with it. Number one, first and foremost, it's our way of saying thank you to our customers. We have a nice, healthy discount that we offer for the entire purchase. And but we also have a lot of fun with it. Jane puts together some activities, some games, some trivia contests. We have refreshments. We'll always have some visitors.
No fried pigeon or anything like that.
No, not.
No.
Well, no. Nope. Now that I think about it, no, not even once. And it's really become a big event, and it's kind of grown just word of mouth. So we're looking forward to that.
Saturday, September 21st, and it starts in the morning or afternoon?
It does. The store opens, as always, on a Saturday at 9 a.m., so folks are welcome to come down from 9 to 6. We will have a special visit by a new partner of ours, Chepachet Farms, will be present from 11 to 3, and they have some wonderful local products, including an assortment of local maple syrups, different flavors. They have some tremendous recipes. They have a vinaigrette dressing that's just out of this world. So we're looking forward to welcoming them as well.
So that's kind of an added thing, not necessarily for the birds, but for the people.
Very much for the people.
Okay. That sounds interesting. And when you put all these things together, you do this once a year. Is this an annual event or is this?
It is, yes. Okay. And we've always had it in September. It seems to be a good time. Fall's approaching. Folks have settled down from
most
the summer.
Most of the hurricanes have gone through.
We might have one or two coming.
Internal, but,
Always internal. But yes, it seems to be a good time.
All right, excellent. Well, let's get to the specifics of the product within the store and some of the things that we've talked about over the years, Jane, where, you know, people are curious or myths that people are, you know, afraid of or thinking about, like you can't do this, you can do that.
Well, actually, I put some myths together here that, you know, for instance, I mean, we hear these different myths every day, and we will, you know, just say, no, that's not quite the truth, and you know, we always try to have the information to back it up. For instance, something like, do birds' feet stick to metal in the wintertime? And I think that's right, in the Christmas story, that's right. And it's the actual truth is no, they're not. Their feet have a different circulatory system.
A pad type of thing.
It's actually not. It's just the it's different from skin. It's different from, you know, how we would stick to metal, and so That isn't true. If it were true, all the bird feeders that we sell would, you know, be we wouldn't be able to exist.
Other than the wooden ones,
right.
Being problems.
That's
right.
Another one is: will birds explode if they eat rice thrown at a wedding?
I don't think I've ever heard that one. I like that one. Sounds like a great subject for a movie.
Well, it's that would dispel all the birds that are in the rice fields,
right?
Eating rice,
right.
And so that, you know, that is not true. There, a lot of people have been throwing bird seed instead of rice at weddings.
Well, that's a good idea.
It is a good idea, but you have to check with the venues, because when you throw seed, it will sprout. It will grow wherever it hits the ground. You know, it could grow. So they might have a problem against that. But, you know, so sometimes it's not a problem to throw rice out there, mm-hmm. and or bird seed, but check with the venue first.
Yeah, well, so. Or, you know, maybe a little frozen ice pellets would be good, because then you'll just disappear.
That's another one would
just
be
trying to help.
Yeah, that's right. Another one would be: will parent birds abandon a baby bird if it was touched by a human?
Oh, I have heard that one.
That one is through the ages. We have heard that,
right.
And I personally have figured, you know, that's probably a mother trying to control her children from grabbing a bird, a baby bird that's out there, that baby basically just fledged. They just fledged, and the mother bird is up in the tree somewhere trying to signal the baby bird to stay and don't move. And, you know, it might not be able to fly yet. And so possibly kids would go over, you know, or pick it up, or even adults, and pick it up mistakenly, thinking that it's abandoned.
I see.
And the best thing to do is to back off, go back in the house, keep an eye on it from the window, and you will probably, most likely, see the mother come down and feed it right there. But it's not going to feed it if we're out there.
Okay. So touching the nest or touching the bird or whatever it is.
I mean, all these rehabilitators wouldn't be able to do what they do if that were the case.
Right.
So
Well, that's a good one, because that's definitely one I've heard.
Yeah, and the biggest one that we deal with is: should people stop feeding birds in the summer?
Right, and then they're confused because they don't want to, you know, get them used to coming.
Right, well, they think that it's going to make them dependent if they think they're only learning to feed on a feeder, and that's not true. They will never lose their instinct to forage. No matter what we do. And that really frees us up to be able to say, no, it's great that you can feed all year long. And it's especially good, and people don't know this, to feed in the summer times, because the birds need extra support to go through molts and to go, to be able to have food nearby so that their nests can be nearby. Mm-hmm. And, and so it's very supportive to be able to feed birds in the summertime.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
I want to get to some specific products, but we have to figure out some way to keep Nicholas quiet. he's been doing a lot of talking. Now, maybe when we come back, we'll talk to Nicholas. We'll talk some more about some of the products within the store after this short break. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Wild Birds Unlimited representatives, Jane and Nicholas and Richard. And Jane, we heard a lot from you in that first segment, and a little bit from Richard, but now we want to put Nicholas on the hot seat. You're the newest of the three, correct, that's working at the facility?
Yeah, newest full-time. I've been around for about 8 years since
it started.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was always part-time. I had school to deal with, but now I'm full around.
School is done, and you're ready to be birds full-time.
Exactly.
All right. And what specific duties do you have when you're at the store? Are you in charge of a certain thing?
I do a little bit of everything. I like to consider myself the utility man.
Okay. The
Brock Holt.
Brock Holt. You are.
Yeah, exactly. Of the store. Right. So I love working with customers, working with them like they're friends. help solving their problems. I do a little bit of everything with stocking shells, bagging seed. So whatever needs to be done, I'm there for.
So I would think that some of the products that you have, if it's a bird feeder or something like that, sometimes assembly is required.
Yes.
And so you help instruct in that area, I would
Exactly.
Imagine. Yeah. Right, but nothing too difficult.
No, right? No, that's what Richard's for.
He handles the difficult.
Yeah. Right. We'll pass it to him.
All right, that's great. Jane, you mentioned during the commercial break that you had some notes that you brought with you. Tell us about those notes that you had.
Yes, I figured that you had said that you had learned something every time that we record a commercial.
Right.
And so I figured I'd put down Mike's test.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't think we've ever had one of these before. So this is my test. Go
That's
ahead,
right.
Hit me.
And
the Titanic.
Yeah.
I was trying to give you the answer
the
right
Guggenheim.
Away.
No. Right. When birds stash away seed in bark or a crevice of a tree, it's called what?
Crevice stashing.
Close, but not.
Not quite, Mike. It's called caching. Blue jays, as well as things like nuthatches, they're notorious for it. Blue jays love acorns naturally, and both of them and squirrels are actually, they hide a lot of seed or acorns, forget about it, and that's kind of what sprouts a lot of the forests out there.
That's the circle of life, right? That's one of the reasons why seeds are interested to, make birds interested so they can spread them around.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Give me another one. I did good on that one.
That's right. Why is it bad to feed geese and other birds bread, and what condition will it cause?
It will cause memory loss. It's a problem where they can't find their way home again because they're stuffed.
No, that's not it.
Nicholas, help me out.
That one is angel wing. I was very guilty of it as a kid myself, just like everyone else. You feed bread, feed moldy food to the geese and ducks in the water, but there's no nutritional value at all for it. So it's just kind of, it bloats them. Makes it so they can't fly.
And it also can.
So this any bread?
No, any bread at all. It doesn't matter how natural it is. And because it just is an empty calorie thing, but also it creates a very debilitating condition called angel wing, which twists their wings in development when they're juveniles. And it twists them so that they would never be able to fly. And it must be a very painful condition because it just looks awful.
I've gone through that. So all these probably millions and millions of people that have like the leftover piece of bread in their loaf of bread that break it up in little pieces and throw it out, that's bad.
That's bad, yep. So. Bird seed of any kind is just fine for the waterfowl as well. Because you don't want to miss out on that activity, do it the right way and use bird seed instead.
We gotta talk to the people on the Black Allen Ferry that are always giving hot dog bowls to the seagulls.
Exactly.
Give me another one.
When you find a young fledgling bird in the grass, what are you supposed to do?
Well, normally you call 911. But I think there's probably a different answer than that, right?
Yes, there is. We get this call a couple of times a week where someone's looking at a baby bird on the ground, staying still usually, and they wonder what they should do. The best thing to do is just leave them alone. The mom, they're nearby talking to the bird, keeping an eye on it, and they'll bring food over, so it's doing just fine. The best thing you can do, grab binoculars if you have them. Watch it outside your window. So if you don't see any activity, then maybe
and
take
keep
action.
Keep your cat in the house.
Keep your cat. Yes, that's
all
a
right.
big one.
That's yeah, right. I learned that on one of the
That's right.
Keep
that's
your pets inside.
That's
you
right. You did.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll give you that one.
All right. Yep. One more, and then we'll move on.
All right. Let's see. What are cowbirds known for?
I think I knew this. they have udders. And they're milkable. And if they have short legs, it's called dragon milk that they give. That's because they have short legs and their udders drag and they call it dragging.
No.
We'll stop you right there before you embarrass yourself. But they're known for its brood parrotism. So what they do, back in, kind of years ago, they would be more reliant on cows. So instead of raising their own young, they would lay their eggs in other nests so that the other birds will raise their young while they kind of move along with the cows. Not needed as much, but they still have that parasitism. It's perfect for the mothers, fathers. They don't have to do anything while the other birds do. Some birds are smart enough to notice where they kind of kick out the eggs, but it's kind of amusing to see a cardinal, something like that, feeding just a completely different bird. It's like they adopted them.
Now, we don't have a whole lot of cows in Rhode Island, but, it's still something that...
They just never learned not to do that,
right.
You know, and it was always convenient for them, so it's just part of who they are. The cowbird used to have to get the insects off the backs of the cattle, and when the cattle moved on, they had to move on with the cattle, so that's why they could never raise, build their own nests and
like
raise their own young.
The pilot fish on a shark.
Right.
It's kind of attached to it, and there they go.
Yep. All right. That's right.
How to see the world.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to...
Well, you did very well.
Thank you. I thought it was very creative, and we didn't have any applause from the peanut gallery, but that's all right. we'll just keep going right along here. We just have a few more minutes to go, and I want to find out more about what's actually in the store and some of the more favorite products of people that come in. So the bird feeders, there's all kinds, right? There's... the ones that are, squirrel-proof and is freestanding. There's some you attach to a building, right?
Yes. The most popular item, barring seed, is called a Squirrel Buster Plus, or our version is the Eliminator. It's one of the few squirrel-proof feeders that actually does work.
Sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger should be doing the commercial for the Eliminator.
Yeah. But it's a weight-sensitive feeder, so the squirrel, you want the squirrel to get on it, because that's what makes it work. Once they jump on it, they're so much heavier than birds, closes right down. And another great feature is it has an adjustability. So especially in the spring, summertime, blackbirds, starlings, and grackles can be an issue. Mm-hmm. Can actually make it more sensitive so it closes on them as well.
Now, do you ever get people that just want to get rid of the squirrels? How do you handle that? I mean, do they just say that, can you move, do you have a squirrel trap where you can move them to some neighbor's yard?
It's actually, you don't want to necessarily do that, but you want to deter them from eating the food. And one of the newest ways of doing that is a whole series of hot pepper foods. One of the things that you don't want to do is to add cayenne pepper to you don't want to add cayenne pepper to your seed, because you never want it to become airborne. And that's an important thing, because people, it says it on the internet, and you can't always trust things like that. It has to be attached to a solid. And so the whole series of foods that we have, that hot pepper is attached to the solid, and it will never become airborne or hurt the birds. The birds don't have the taste bud receptors, so they're not going to be able to taste it, whereas the mammals, such as the squirrels, will.
Okay. Now, at one point in time, I think I remember one of the commercials that you did talked about suet.
Yes.
And is it good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, suet is actually something that you can feed the birds all year long now. And one of the things that's coming up right now is that just released after seeing a prototype of it 3 years ago is the squirrel-proof suet feeder.
That's hard to stay five times fast.
It really is. But it's from the same company that makes the Eliminator and the Squirrel Buster. And we know that they took the time to make sure it's going to work.
Okay. So other than squirrels as being the number one pest, I guess you could say, or is it the number one pest? Is there something that's worse than squirrels as far as taking bird seed that doesn't belong to them?
Sometimes we get reports of bears. In the area, deer, of course, raccoons. We can solve that problem too. But there are, there are a number of different animals that will, of course, eat bird seed as well.
Okay, so the main one though is the squirrels. What about you know, one time I know we did talk about bats, and we talked about are they a problem, or can people enjoy bats just like they enjoy, you know, robins?
Yes, bats, they're a little unique. They aren't out as at daytime, so you can't, you can enjoy them. You don't see them as much. You might see them more
at dusk,
exactly,
yeah,
flying around.
Nice here, yeah.
A lot of people do want to attract them mainly to help with mosquitoes, because they do go for mosquitoes and other insects as well. But they do take kind of specific requirements. So a lot of people, they buy a bat box, put it right in a tree, hoping for bats to come around. It doesn't really work that way. They do need to be in sun pretty much all day, which a lot of people can't really offer. And they do have to be 15 to 20 feet high up as well.
Okay. And is there a particular food that they like versus something else?
Nothing we can really offer. Sometimes every now and then we get customers that have bats going for hummingbird feeders because they'll drink nectar as well. But food, not really. Bat boxes is kind of the way to go.
Bat boxes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, let's get to the hummingbird thing that I alluded to at the top of the program, because I think that's an important one that a lot of people, very big misconception about what kind of hummingbird food is attractive to hummingbirds.
Well, we have people coming in, they use the red stuff, basically.
The red stuff, right.
Which is you can pretty much buy anywhere. The problem with it is that the red dye is not good for the birds. It's basically sugar. And you mix it with water, and that's it. And so the recipe is 4 parts water, 1 part sugar, no red dye. You can heat up the water, dissolve the sugar, and then once it's cooled, you can put it out there.
Jane, if you tell people that, they don't have to come in and buy it.
Well, the thing is that one of the things that we do have is the nectar mix that has that what's called Nectar Defender in there, and that makes it last longer. So for people who want the convenience of not having to change the solution as often as if you made your own, that's what we sell. So, you know, yes, we do have it,
But people can make their own.
But people can. I certainly do. I like to wash my feeders every couple of days. So, you know, that's just how I am.
That's another point that we've talked about in the past, keeping them clean.
And
hitting them with a garden hose doesn't do it.
No. It has to.
Right? Wasn't that a line from one of your spots?
Well, yes. Yes, it was.
Well, Richard, we have just a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get some pertinent information out to the people. If they're sitting at home and they want to check it out online, where do they go?
So we have a few different entities online. Obviously, our website, Mike, so that's wbu.com/Warwick.
Right.
And there's quite a bit of information on there, educational, some store items are listed, et cetera. But we also have somewhat of a new enterprise that we started a little less than a year ago. It's called My WBU. And while we do and always will prefer our customers visit the store, there is now the option to order online. And while not everything in the store is available online, our most popular items are.
Okay.
So folks can find that at mywbu.com/Warwick. Certainly if there's it takes a minute or two to register, but if there are any questions, you know, they can give us a call at the store. Number is 401-826-0606. We'll be happy to walk them through or answer any questions they might have.
Excellent. All right. So make sure you check that out and do visit the store. I mean, it's really a fun place to go, and you can always learn a lot of things at Wild Birds Unlimited. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Richard. And Jane, of course.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. And we'll be interested in your next commercials. Take care, everyone. See you next time on Company Break.